Could you elaborate for a couple minutes about your current campaign in which you're asking to be transferred from Clinton Correctional Facility to a different facility?
That is the concurrence of my diabetes. I've always been very conscious about, maintaining stability and control with my diabetes, albeit without being able to check. I still watch what I eat. I eat timely, I exercise, and I take my medication. Sometime in October, something happened to me. I was given an injection in the early morning, which I normally do. I get injections at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I get the next injection between 3 and 4 in the evening. The injection I get in the morning at 6 o'clock is supposed to cover me all the way through to the course of the day. Approximately 10 o'clock that morning, I became disoriented. I knew early on that I was hungry, and I was hoping that because my sugars were starting to drop, that I could hang out to 11 to get to the mess hall to eat because I was at work. I had these things before, and I've always been able to, go ahead and eat and straighten myself out. But by 10:30, quarter to 11, I became so disoriented that I abruptly left my job and went back to the block. When I got to my cell, I was extremely tired, and I laid down and I went to sleep. My sugars was already dropping. I was already in a close comatose state, but I was really dropping fast. Fortunately, some friends of mine from Maine had decided on a surprise visit that day. And in coming for me, the brothers was banging on the wall for approximately 15 to 20 minutes to tell me that my door had been open for almost 20 minutes and I had gotten called for a visit. Still in a delirious and disoriented state, I came downstairs to get a pass to go to the visiting room. Because I was in what they call a drunken stupor from low sugar, prison guard saw me, assumed that I was strung out on some kind of drug, that they wrestled me to the floor, put me in handcuffs, and determined as a last resort to take me to the hospital to determine what I had taken. When they got me up in the hospital, the nurse recognized that I was diabetic, immediately moved and gave me injections of intravenous sugars until I began to come around. I came out of it. Eventually, they talked to me. They just told me, well, listen here, take this sandwich, drink this juice. Okay, you're much better. Okay, you can go back now. So my first thought was that, well, they had given me the wrong insulin. I went to the visit, finished the visit off, and then I went back to my cell. Within a week's time, I dropped out again. Same thing. I woke up. I was in the hospital. And then I began to notice it was a pattern. Nobody discussed what had happened to me, what the possibilities of me preventing it, or what it might have triggered it, or anything. It was just reviving and sending back to the cell. After that October 19th episode, I suffered 10 more of those episodes until February 10th, when I was writing a letter to put out in the street that I was receiving no medical treatment here. I had had numerous attacks, and I didn't know why I was going out. I was unconscious. I would come to, and I'd be in the hospital. They would revive me, and they would send me back. They're sending back to a cell. No one has talked to me. No one has seen it necessary to call me up for an interview. And the new aspect of it was coming so fast that 1 minute, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm getting hungry. I need to eat. And the next minute, I would wake up, and I'd be in the hospital. Without any memory of how I got there, what occurred while I was en route there or anything. When I asked for help the day that I was writing the letter out on the 10th, I passed out again. I was typing 1 minute and then I woke up and I was in the hospital. Enough was enough. I began to ask for help from the street. My intention was to tell everyone that, contrary to popular belief, no one talked to me. No one saw fit to say, well, we should put you in the hospital and monitor you for, over several days and during that course, take your blood sugars 3 or 4 times during the course of the day to determine when your sugars are starting to drop so that we can either adjust your insulin or increase your exercise. No one talked to me at all. As a consequence, once the word went out in the street and it began to filter back in here, within a week's time, adjustments appeared. One of the first adjustments that appeared was the release of TOA diastrips. Keto diastrips are just strips that you urinate on that are supposed to monitor your blood sugar. They cost all of $10 for a box of 50. They could have given me this a long time ago. Common sense begs the question, well, if he's falling out 3 or 4 times, wouldn't it have been a good idea to do something, you know, to try to discover what it is that's causing it and when it is, so that he would have some kind of means to control it? And short of that, having gone through all of those changes, why not investigate it and give him a proper physical examination and give him some kind of explanation about what was causing it or where it was coming from? None of that occurred until community-sponsored people began to speak out directly and demand a transfer to a facility that has in place a program that will answer his needs as a diabetic and as well as a hepatitis C. I am afraid that given these blackouts that I've been going through, not knowing what it's doing, how much oxygen, lack of oxygen to the brain that I'm having, and what side effect it's causing, having no treatment, having no examination, having no dialogue with anybody, and these things are constantly occurring, I am afraid that by the time anybody becomes aware that I'm going through a lot of change, have to be at my funeral, and they'll be wondering, well, how come we didn't know? And we'll be left with the explanation from the Department of Correctional Services to explain what it was that occurred and deny forever that it had any collusion with my death. By me getting out there up front and saying that, listen, I fear for my life, and I truly do, and this is the reason that I base that suspicion on, it has put the Department of Correction in a precarious position to now respond. They have responded so far by giving me urinary strips without any explanation of how they work, how I should use them, or anything else. I was just given the package and to read the insert and to try to figure out what's going on my own. All attempts to see anybody has failed. Until recently, again, due to outside support and pressure, I was given an interview with one of the doctors who concluded that it seems that I'm taking too much insulin. This is their explanation now about why I've been falling out going on 4 months. So I was abruptly cut off of the Met Forum. I don't know what kind of reaction it's going to have after taking it for more than 3 years. One of the curious things that was spoken about at the time when this meds was canceled was that the doctor told me that it's crazy that I'm taking all of this medication, and who would be so stupid as to give this stuff to me? I explained that the doctor that I was talking to, Dr. Kang Lee, was the one who had this medicine for me, and since 2001, and every 30 days, it is he who renews it. So for all these 3 years that all this crazy medication I've been taking, Dr. Lee has been signing and approving. But now he has discovered that it was crazy. And I don't know if what he's saying is true or not, but I do know I'm so petrified that I don't wait for hunger to come. The slightest little indication that there might be an attack in the wings somewhere waiting, and I begin to eat. I've discovered now that if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't determine why I woke up or what's woken me up, I have to sit down and eat. The danger of that is when your sugars are high and you're eating and you're driving them up even higher, and there's no way of questioning or knowing, or there's no way of postulating if the circumstance they have me here going through, I don't know anything. The urine strips that they give me, I don't know if they work or they don't. They always register negative. But I feel uncomfortable in some days, and some days I feel good. But it always says the same thing. And I haven't a clue about, you know, how to use it properly. This is why I think it is imperative to get out of here. If I'm left here, I truly believe it will be my demise. And it will be based on, well, who knows? Who can say? We're the medical department. We say this. We say he's been getting proper medical treatment. In reality, they're just biding their time. I have determined that I will survive. And I've determined that in short of survival, I will live a good life until it's gone. So I will continue to do the work that I've committed myself to do. And the parole commissioners' arbitrary and capricious attacks on prisoners as they come up, I'm working with the Lifers organization to do as much as I can. I'm also mentoring, working, exercising, eating, and working with community and family as much and as strongly as I can. If I'm not removed from this environment to a location where there is in place, where patients are involved in the medical treatment on a daily basis, if I remain here, I have no doubt that it will be my hasty demise, which I believe is the strategy and tactic that they have for political prisoners who have somehow abided through longevity, have not come out of here insane or strung out on drugs and mental medication, are not attacked by prison population because of the opportunity to score points or to, you know, to be a big man. We just seem to righteously live here and abide here and grow here. And so they've hit upon a new solution that, well, we'll have to just do it in a way that we don't really look like we've done anything. If we, anywhere you would catch them to have an incurable disease and we don't monitor it, we don't take care of it, and that disease kills them, then who can say we've done anything? But that's just my opinion. And I think it is shared by a lot of people, based not so much as my word, but the reality of what isn't occurring while we're sick in here, and how the attention to our plight are ignored, and treatment is withheld, good as it comes too late.